Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the scripture reading that was read earlier in the service. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all learned in science class that nature abhors a vacuum. Once a commonly expressed statement was that silence is golden. Instead, today it seems that most people abhor silence. There are perhaps a number of reasons for communicating with others. In one of my college classes on communication or public speaking, I remember that one of the primary reasons for communication is to share important, vital information to other people. But then there was also another reason, if that reason is absent. A reason for communicating is simply to keep the lines of communication open, so that you're ready to go if then something important comes along again. Well, there's no doubt that people love to communicate today, perhaps more so than ever. And it's more possible for people. There has been a proliferation of radio and television talk shows. And some of these, especially the radio talk shows, sometimes give the listener an opportunity to call in and talk to the show's host. Then there are the cellular phones that become increasingly more and more popular that enable people simply to talk wherever they are, in their cars, in the grocery store, sitting at a restaurant, or walking in the halls of the shopping malls. And we see people constantly in communication. Add to that, there is the email and the chat rooms on our computers. And so it seems that many people today have little desire or tolerance for silence. And the only time when silence maybe seems to creep up and become a problem, or when communication ceases to exist, is when a relationship such as a marriage begins to break down. And then we're told one of the main reasons probably is that the couple has stopped talking to one another. They have stopped communicating. As Christians, when it comes to the gospel's message, you and I should indeed abhor silence. After all, God, more than Ronald Reagan ever was, is the great communicator. The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament his handiwork." God communicates nonverbally to people constantly through the very natural order that is around us. Day in and day out, he is telling us and all mankind that he exists, that he has made this world. But more importantly, you and I know that there is the sacred word of God that he has given to us, and that is still our precious possession today. But then also God sent his Son into the world, who is clearly in the prologue of John's Gospel called the Word, the very communication of God to us, as he shows to us in his life on earth what the love of God is really all about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And throughout history, God has raised up prophets, apostles to speak for him. And throughout the history of the church, he has periodically raised up great preachers. And so just as God himself has never stopped talking and revealing himself to people, so he has called us to share that revelation with others. And this certainly is clear in our text. Because God's word to Moses from the mountain was a command to speak to the people of Israel. Moses wasn't to come up with his own message, but simply to share the word of God himself. He is to tell the people what God told him. And in this text, Moses' message is a clear law gospel message. First of all, Moses is to tell the people of Israel, remind them what God has done for them in freeing them from the land of Egypt. He is to tell them that it was God who had freed them from bondage. It was God who had brought them up out of a land of slavery. Or as the text said, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This was the great act of redemption in the Old Testament that would have its New Testament counterpart in the salvation for us by Christ on the cross. There God saved us from bondage to sin, Satan, and eternal death. Apparently, some in Israel who were God's people had forgotten God's great act of salvation. And he was to remind them, call them forth from their lethargy, to remind them that their relationship was all about being the redeemed people of God. Or perhaps their religion had degenerated into something beside a life of faith centered around God's merciful and saving involvement in their lives. So God has called us to speak not only to the unregenerate of our society, but also to God's people, to those who may have begun to forget what God has done for them, or people who may have begun to invert the priorities of their religious life. Maybe a social fellowship of a spiritual nature has preceded a fellowship in word and sacrament. Or maybe a theology of glory has simply eclipsed a theology of the cross. These are people, too, that need to hear what God did to Satan and how God carried them on eagle's wings and brought them to himself. Secondly, since once Israel had become God's people, they were in a relationship that had certain requirements. And so it is in Exodus that we have one of the recordings of God giving the Ten Commandments. Moses was to remind them of those commandments given by God to them from the mountain. God's people, too, need to be reminded that the Ten Commandments are not a burden, but they are a gift of love from God to us and to all whom he has chosen. And keeping the Ten Commandments is a way whereby we show how much we love God. And it's clearly also a way for us, as it was for Israel, of setting us apart from other people, namely those not God's people. It's a way of telling our world that God's people live differently from those who belong to Satan. And even God's people need repeated reminders of this. And then thirdly, God says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. In other words, if the redeemed people of God remember his redemption of them, the salvation he has granted, and keep his commandments or stay in a true child of God relationship with their Maker and their Savior, God says that relationship is going to become permanent. It will last into all eternity. And this is the hope that sustains all who believe throughout their lives in this world. Much of the chatter, the idle chatter of our world today, may be simply nothing more than avoiding a silence that people seem to have begun to abhor, or perhaps simply passing time in sharing trivial information because they have nothing more important to do. I recall in prep high school, Our Greek professor told his class one day, "Well, fellows, when you walk over to the dining hall after class, don't spend your time in idle chatter talking about the weather or something else. There are simply things more important than that to talk about." And in a way, that's what God is telling us in our text. For us as Christians, there is something more important that we have to talk about than the idle chatter and the trivial information that has become characteristic of our age. What God is talking about in our text this morning is the need to communicate in order to share vital, utterly important information that He has redeemed us, that He loves us, and that He wants the relationship between Himself and us to continue into all eternity. That was Moses' task, and that is also our task today. May God grant that we will be successful as a spokesman of God to His church and to our world. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.